was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome once again to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
Believe it or not, I'm Johnny B.
And I am actually Johnny Smacks. Here we are, lads, podcast 12. Hope you're sitting back and in a comfortable position to enjoy this one. We're in Dublin again. We will get back to Tipperary at some stage. We've been held captive by Michael D. Higgins here in Dublin. On this week's podcast, we are discussing Ireland's Eurovision history, asking if the Two Johnnies could be the millennial rock and roll kids.
The legend that is Noel Furlong will be here to shake things up.
We'll be talking all things Debs. We'll be coming on some of our memories from previous Debs and some of the mishaps.
You're still coming on memories of your previous Debs?
Oh man, wait till you hear the memories. That actually made no sense, did it? To be honest, I'd sack myself if I wasn't in charge around here. And we,
who says you're in charge?
Can we start again?
No, we're not starting again. I'm in charge. And we'll be doing Yurt or Dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, as always, matters arising from last week's podcast, Johnny Bay.
Luke on Twitter said we should be doing research into wedding planning. Or he should be doing research into his wedding. But he's having a sneaky look at the Two Johnnies. Look, I don't understand. We get loads of snap. I'm here trying to study. I'm laughing. They're all looking at me in the library. Like, why are you listening to like a senile 70-year-old man ranting about Prince Charles when you're supposed to be studying for final exams, lad? Don't blame me if you fail your exams, like. Spilt milk, Johnny.
Luke on Twitter, lad, doing research into wedding planning, but like having a sneaky look at the Two Johnnies podcast. There's only one thing wrong with that.
Huh.
He's getting fucking married. What's he at? Ooh. Jesus. One of the people to comment on our podcast, giving a 5 stars, thank you very much for that, who goes by the title A Dub Lost in Offaly. Oh, God help him. Said, peak of the week on my daily 4-hour commute to work. 4-hour commute to work?
What?
He must be working over in Amsterdam or something.
4-hour commute?
Yeah, that's insane.
I wouldn't do it for love nor money.
No. For all the tea in China, Johnny.
Not for all the cigars in Cuba.
And Claire got in touch to say, it's official. I'm not the mad one at the gym. Burst out laughing at the Knowles declaration that Bobby Sands has been murdered by Kim Kardashian.
So if you don't know what that is, go back to the start, will you, and listen. Learn about Conal and Pat Carney and all the integral characters of the stories.
Okay, what did the Two Johnnies do this week? Nice little holiday. A great little break from each other. I'm tanned all over. Except the back passage.
The Boreen
is not tanned.
Also, I want to say about Boreen, right? If you're driving around Dublin here now, you'll see, you know, the bus lane. What does it say? Lana bus. Mm-hmm. Lana is not a word.
It is lane.
That's a makey uppy Dublin word. Come here. Do you know, get an English-Irish dictionary and type in, online say it, right, and type in lane, and what'll come up? Boreen,
right.
It should be the bus Boreen.
But Boreen's hard to fit and paint on the ground.
There you go.
So we'll just abandon our native tongue on Chongan Ashunta. We'll just makey uppy a little word.
Man, you got to think of the council workers.
I worked with the council, lad. Uh-huh. Well, work is a bit strong now, but I was there. I was employed.
This week, lads, we're off to Dubai on Wednesday. We can't wait. We're out there as guests for Nafina GA.
If I have to tell you again, we're going to Abu Dhabi.
Is it Abu Dhabi?
This is like me in the colleges. You told me 17 times it was UCD, and I was like, hello, DCU. And they all booing at me.
Right, lads, we're off to Abu Dhabi on Wednesday. Yeah. And any Abu Dhabi podcast listeners, get in touch. We'd love to hear what your recommendations are for things to do over there. And we'll meet you for a lot of pies.
We're very popular with the Abu Dhabians.
Abu Dhabians.
So I got one more. We got a very long email. See this, of a lad who did a Mad J1.
I did.
And I said to you, did you read it? And he was like, I scanned it.
No, fair play to your man. Actually, sending a huge email. And I was sitting on the toilet at the time. And, you know, it only takes a certain amount of time.
Okay, well, I read it and I'll give you the highlights. This is the Sunday game version of Johnny's shite, you know, right?
Broke down the analysis.
The intensity here. No, so basically, they were over. This lad, he was stone broke over in San Fran. Stone broke, not a bob. And he had to get money off the mother. And he had exhausted that avenue. And then eventually, all he had was his outfit that he'd been given in the kitchen that he worked in. But he'd gotten fired from there, drinking or whatever. So he got a number, this lad, going down to, it was Compton or somewhere mental now, like. And this Native American lad came out of the house. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Hop into the back of the pickup there, himself and 3 other Irish lads. and they in their chef's outfits, like, is all they had, the only clothes they had. So they went out and he's like, see all those stones there, like, they're going building stonemasons up the top of the hill. So, like, it's too weird and mucky to get a machine up. You're just going to have to carry those stones up all day. And he's like, this is how much you'll get done today. And the boys had it done by 10:30. So they just sat down and he left them off with a load of beer and all for the day. It's hot, like, have a load of beer when you want. Boys were lamped. And they did this. A man came back and he was delighted with the amount of work they had done. He said, the Americans were useless, like. So the boys, this went on for 2 or 3 months. They made a fortune. They'd get out in the morning, they'd make a bust from about 7 a.m. until 10:30. And they'd drink bottles and arse around for the day.
That sounds exactly like what we do every day.
So that was just a bit of feedback on the J1s.
Fair play, and we love people getting in touch and do continue to...
So I had his version, you know, had a lot of stuff included that I couldn't put on the podcast. There was a couple of racial slurs in it. No, I'm not going to get into it.
We'll never publish it. We'll never publish it. Okay, topic number one. Do you want to sing it, John?
I remember 62.
I was 16 and so were you.
And we living next door. The greatest song of all time.
That is, of course, Rock and Roll Kids by Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan. The two Johnny's favourite Eurovision song. This week we'll see Ryan O'Shaughnessy represent Ireland at the Eurovision Song Contest with the song Together. So we thought we would reflect on some of our favourite memories and discuss how Ireland can get back to winning ways in the competition.
I saw a documentary, and I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh my god, did you hear about this documentary on Netflix? But
You're slowly starting to turn into a documentary tosser, lad.
You're already a documentary tosser. You're a Ricky Gervais tosser.
Yeah, but like he's a genius. I've been watching a lot of O.J. Simpson documentaries as well, but we save that for another podcast.
Okay. right, I suppose it beats Emmerdale. No, you love Emmerdale.
No, EastEnders, lad.
EastEnders, yeah. Is it?
DCU, UCD, EastEnders, Emmerdale. You're going senile.
They're all shite to me, lad.
Not the colleges.
No, not the colleges. The English tripe. That's another one now I'm going to start ruining.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I hate all that Coronation Street. Dirt. Emmerdale. Shite.
Back to your original answer.
Sorry. So I seen this documentary on Paul Harrington, and he said he was working in an office at the time, and he wrote Rock and Roll Kids. And he would go around the office singing it real quietly. Like, na, 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 na. And then he said, by the end of the day, the girls doing the phones were on the phones, they were typing away on the computer, and they were, na, na, 62. And he said he knew that he had a catchy hit in his hand, on his hands, because they didn't even hear it properly, and they were singing along to themselves.
That's what I used to be doing at the butcher counter. When I play for the county.
That's why you cut your finger off, is it?
Yeah, it was that bad. Sound of my own voice. But, my Eurovision memories are like, oh, I've got so many. Not that I was alive when Johnny Logan wore that white suit, but it is like, there should be a statue of Johnny Logan.
Outside every town in Ireland.
Definitely. Like, welcome to Mullingar, Joe and Johnny Logan on the other side of the road. Like, I think he's right up there.
They should put it in Ashburn because that's where Johnny Logan lives.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, no, well, outside Ashburn.
No more. Johnny Logan lives right in my heart.
Oh, Johnny Logan, of course, won the Eurovision twice for Ireland. So Johnny Logan won it twice. Dana with All Kinds of Everything. Linda Martin, I don't know, I think she was just whinging. Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan. Niamh Kavanagh had In Your Eyes, another classic. And Emer Quinn had I Am The Voice.
Of course, Johnny Logan then wrote
Linda Martin's song.
Linda Martin's song.
Yeah, sure, Linda wouldn't write it herself.
That's one of my earliest memories, I'd say, from life.
What, Linda Martin's song?
Yeah.
Showing her age now.
It's only a child, that.
Only
toddler.
What year did Linda Martin won it in?
92.
Yeah, I was only a toddler, that.
Yeah, I was only a year old.
There you go.
Yeah. But you imagine that being your earliest memory of life, Linda Martin singing, whinging and bawling on the television.
That's scary, isn't it?
Oh my, and she's still around.
And you wonder why I'm so fucked up.
She's still around. You can't kill a bad thing, though. What this is.
What, like my memories of Linda Martin? Yeah,
exactly.
Why did it come to me at night?
And Dana, of course.
Every night I am haunted by memories of Linda Martin. In Your Eyes. No, what's her song again? What was
why
her?
Why me?
That's exactly what I say to her. I'm like, Linda, why me?
Why me?
Why do you come to me in the depth of night?
Herself and Twink are fighting each other down the end of your bed.
I look at you and I think, why me?
Why me? Of course, Dana wanted. Dana.
Come on, admit it. You hate Dana.
I don't like Dana. Fuck it, right? You've got me on a rant now. Dana, she's like an annoying old relative. Like, I bet you'd be sitting down for dinner with her and she'd be like, oh, remember the time I won the Eurovision? Oh, fuck off, Dana, will you? You'd be bringing that shit up again. That's all she's done. She ran for politics.
Yeah, she ran for president.
President? Yeah. So she was never going to get in. No one fucking likes her. You know?
Well, I can't remember how she did.
She didn't do too well. She's not president anyway, that's for sure.
So you don't like her because she's a one-trick pony, is it?
I'm not answering that because you're going to have a dig at me then off the back of that, aren't you? Yeah, she's a one-trick pony.
She had that song. Did you have any other songs now, Maura? Head of research department in the Two Johnnies. I'm just going to throw a curveball at you there.
I'm sure she would have recorded albums and that, but All Kinds of Everything would have been a massive hit for her. And that's the only one I can recollect seeing her perform.
So apart from Rock and Roll Kids, Johnny, what's your second favourite Eurovision song?
Oh, lad.
I know mine.
Usher, Mickey Joe Hart.
Oh, yes. I'm glad we got into it. Lads, that man's a saint. Like, do you remember he was in Eurostar? That was a big deal, at Eurostar at the time. And they announced there was going to be a huge concert in Roscrea. Lark in the Park. Oh, yeah. I tell you, massive. This was like Wembley. And they were saying, oh, who'll be playing? Who'll be playing? And we were full sure it was going to be Mickey Joe because it was going to be a Eurostar. Like, you know, fucking star was going to be the main headline on it. Brian Armand. Brian Armand playing Lark in the Park. Shite.
Was he?
Yeah.
What did he sing, like? Covers?
Yeah, covers. Like, yeah. I don't even know what he sang. I remember. Now, Michael Leonard was with him as well, if you remember Michael Leonard. If anybody's casting it back that far, yeah, I do. And Simon Casey, but I never liked him. Because he's from Offaly, lad.
A good singer, though.
From Offaly, though.
He's still doing weddings,
Simon
Casey.
He's still from Offaly. But, yeah. But Simon Casey was in the final with Mickey Joe Hart, and the first time I ever sang in public was on a bus to the Credit Union Schools Quiz in the RDS, and I sang Simon Casey's song.
What was it?
Take my hand, come with me. Do you know who wrote the song? Ronan Keaton.
That's why it's so bad.
I think it was either Ronan Keaton or Brian McFadden. I don't know.
or I did a fucking Julius Caesar. One of them.
It's one of them boys anyway. But I think, like, our Eurovision.
Come on, I'm not done loving Mickey Joe Hart just yet.
See,
we play it sometimes at our shows. Mm. And we were down rehearsing in Cork.
The music shows now, not the comedy show.
Oh, wait, no, you're gone, Maura. Sorry. Maura noticed an update for Java on the computer screen behind me. I thought she's after crashing. She's fine.
She's still going.
Mickey Joe Hart, right? We've Got the World Tonight with the band. And we were down in Cork rehearsing the other night. And all the other rehearsal rooms were like jazz bands and all the fucking high
music heads.
Yeah, music heads. And the boys in the band with us are all class musicians, like have their degrees and masters and all. And
so they die a bit inside when they play with us.
And he's like, guys, in the other rehearsal rooms are going to be going down to the pub tonight saying, you'll never guess who was up in Bubble recording her rehearsal studios, Mickey Joe Hart. Like.
They're like, because nobody else would be playing that song bar Mickey Joe Hart, like. And we bang it out. But like, people love it. They go crazy for it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what age you are, everybody knows the words there.
Isn't it amazing? Like, why is We've Got the World such like a cult hit within Ireland? It didn't win the Eurovision.
He placed in the top 10, though. I think he was 8.
Ah, yeah, but come on.
So, Jesus, lad, some of the dirt we sent after.
But Brian Kennedy in the top 10, and I didn't know what he was singing.
But I don't think we should have sent Senile Puppets to the Eurovision. Like, I don't know who elected
Jedward. That's no way to talk about Jedward.
Yeah, I don't know who elected Jedward. But we should have never got them there, to be fair.
They actually did really well.
They did. They had a day, their song was Waterline. And it actually wasn't too bad. Chalk Ice and Twix used to do the dance to it down in the Gatehouse Bar in Cair.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They used to do the dance. Oh, lads, I'm thinking back. We were like 20 at the time. That's not normal for fellas to be doing. But
Bring back me. I'm still not over Mickey Joe. I love that. Remember the green guitar?
Yeah, the green
guitar.
Can we have
like a Mickey Joe special on the podcast here someday?
Brian McFadden's sister was actually a backing singer for Mickey Joe.
Susan?
Hart. Yeah, she done the We've Got the World Tonight.
Okay, yep. So if Mickey Joe Hart is listening, will you come on the show with us?
Mickey, come on, please. And bring that green guitar.
Oh, yeah.
If he hardly still has it, doesn't
he? No, it's probably up in the museum in Dublin.
And that's where it should be. But I remember voting for him in Eurostar. That's how old I am. Tell you.
With your dial-up internet.
Dial-up. No, you had to phone it in. You had to phone in the votes back then. You ring the number. Like, press 1 for Mickey Joe Hart. Press 2 for Simon Casey. See, the problem now, lads, with the Eurovision is nobody votes for us. right? All the neighbouring countries vote for each other. So Poland will give the old Germans a vote or whatever. It's not like the fucking Brits are going to vote for us, is it?
Yeah, Germany give Poland a 10. It's the fucking least they could do for them.
Yeah. that is true. That actually, the year Mickey Joe was in it, we got a 12 from Britain. Mm. Sure, everyone up the north voted. Like. So no, it counted.
Yeah. But sure, isn't that part of Ireland?
Well, yeah, but like, you know what I mean. The UK vote. You fucking
prick.
You prick. Johnny, you must remember when Lardy won. You being one of them old metalheads, a Corn dude.
A hairy,
as they're known in Roscrea.
Gasparrel music, as Colum Guthrie used to say to me. You're banging off Gasparrels, jumping around heavy metal music. Lardy won with Hard Rock Hallelujah. And no, I didn't rejoice, because to me it wasn't quite hard enough. It was like, that's not even real metal, like. Just not like, why didn't they like, get like Metallica in or something, did win it?
And when you were in your metal band, Johnny, did you never consider and go for the Eurovision, no?
No.
Old Gasparrel music.
Well, see, Lardy came out. Oh, lad, they were rough now. They were like, dressed. Remember the big dress get up they had? Mm. They were like Linda Martin without the makeup.
Do you remember Conchita Verse?
Oh, could I forget? Yeah,
Johnny B in drag.
Huh?
Only her beard was better. No, tell me this. We've got
the world tonight.
We've got the world tonight. Yeah, you've got me in the mood now.
Oh no, we heard a great one yesterday. Come on, I'm telling that.
Go on, tell it.
This girl. The boy said it was this girl, a friend of theirs. They were over in America, and Mickey Johart was playing at some, like.
Mickey, if you're listening, this may or may not be true, but it's a great story, and we're going to tell it nonetheless.
And there was some like after show party he was playing at, and he was chatting to this one, and. Maybe he had the eye in your one, and she's going away anyway. And he says to her, "Ah, no, hang on. And she said, "Mickey, you might have the world tonight, but you won't have me."
I swear to God, yeah.
So again, it may or may not be true. And usually when somebody like starts a story with "it may or may not be true," they've extracted it out of their arse.
But we love it nonetheless. Now, the real star of Eurovision, lads, Marty Whelan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like he,
Marty commentates on the RT coverage of the Eurovision. There has never been a more biased, cynical commentator ever. Now he's great, like, but like he, you know, obviously when the Irish song comes on, it's the best song of the night, like. And I remember him going one time like, "Ah, can't believe Finland have got 12 points. They're dressed as flamingos." Just like outrageous coverage. And another,
I'd love to get like Mia Hallam or Hurtig commentating
on the Eurovision.
"And Sweden have entered a woman with the beard."
But I mean, to be fair,
Conchita Wurst is on the 40. She's on the 30.
It just goes to show how good Ireland are when it comes to Eurovision, because we've got Marty Whelan commentating on it, and the BBC had Terry Wogan. And
from Limerick.
Yeah, and now they've got Graham Norton.
Mm-hmm. From Cork.
So is it just, is the Eurovision a whole Irish thing, like? It's a tradition.
Well, we are the country that's won it the most ever times.
Yeah, go Ireland!
Yeah, yeah.
We're good at something.
Well, like, we have pretty good musical history. Mm-hmm. And
oh, you're saying the Brits have no culture, Mara, is it like?
Oh, that's a quote, Mara.
Mara, quote Mara, now.
That's a quote that'd be in tomorrow's paper. To Johnny's producer, says the Brits have no culture.
Yep. Come here, lads. Would you go do the Eurovision?
Oh, it depends on the envelopes.
On the backing dancers.
On the back. I don't know.
It looks like some crack, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm. You get a weekend out there in some foreign country. We're always up for that. I don't know what they quite get our songs.
We could write a new one.
That's work though. Listen, I think we do better than some of the acts we've sent out. Yeah. Definitely better than Dustin the Turkey.
Could you rewrite "When I Play for the County" to "When I Win the Eurovision"?
Mara,
don't be saying this online. Someone's going to take that now.
Edit that out. There'll be some fella on now from Dublin with long hair singing that now next year in the Eurovision.
"When I grow up, I'm going to sing for Ireland."
All the Finland people will be all about me. March behind Marty Whelan's wig.
Oh.
Marty's hair is real. Okay.
Yeah, it is. The
and beautiful.
Fox. Yeah.
It's luscious.
Another thing, lads, that really annoys me about the Eurovision. There's always a time delay.
Oh,
Now, how long has the Eurovision been going? Donkey's years, right? I'd say over 50 years probably. There's still a time delay.
200 years, I'd say.
Yeah. So it's like, hello, Romania. Hello, Pavel. Big, massive time delay. You think they'd have sorted that out in 25 years? And then they're like, do you have the Romanian scores? And then the camera pans to the Irish lads. They still haven't got a pint. And they're all waving mad with tricolours. If that camera came over my face, like, no pints, I'd be saying, hey, get out of my face or I'll smash that camera off the ground.
You'd be in the residence bar.
Be on my second bottle of whiskey. Like. Do you know what I mean? Like, Brian Kennedy, I don't think he got any pints or something.
He did okay.
Oh, he did. No, he did well.
Ryan Dolan. He got 5 points. Ireland's lost.
Yeah.
Sure
5 points from centre back.
Yeah, that's like, you know what I mean though.
Five at least points. He togged out, you know.
Like. Yeah, but more like it's not all about togging out. Like. Fuck it. You want to be winning it. You know, when that ended and he had only got 5 points, like, I'd say he must have went in drank 4 or 5 bottles of Jetty. Definitely.
I don't remember his song. Was it good?
Exactly. It actually wasn't too bad. It was a dancey kind of song.
Yeah, but look, he did his best and he had a decent enough song and he's actually able to sing, like.
Yeah, Ryan O'Shaughnessy now is going for Ireland this year and he is very good. He was on, was it The Voice? And then he went on Britain's Got Talent. And there was a bit of a dispute there, but he's done really well on Britain's Got Talent. And he is.
I don't watch any of those yokes.
He's meant to be a great songwriter. He's like one of the top songwriters in Ireland now at the moment. Apart from...
the two of us.
Yeah.
Lyrical genius. We've been working on the album flat out, I swear to God. I'm buzzing. This is a bit off topic now, but I had... like a writing day during the week with our drummer Fanta, and he's actually class. He can play the keyboard as well. He was coming out with this stuff. I'd be jamming out the chords and the acoustic, and he'd be like, "Oh, did you see the way you're doing the sus? Make that like a flat 9." And I'd be going, "Yeah, no bother there. No, good. One sec. No,
I'm the worst in the studio. I don't have an idea what's going on. Like, sing the line. I'd be like, "Yeah, no bother. Play the tune." I'm like Dougal. But our worst results actually in the Eurovision were in 2007 by Dervish. Do you remember Dervish?
Yeah, the trad band.
The trad band, yeah.
And they're professionals, like. They're making a living out of it.
I'm going to ask a massive question now. Why did Ireland never send the Saw Doctors? We'd have pissed it. Davey would have been out there swigging over a can of cider. We'd have done it.
But sure, isn't the time limit like 2.5 minutes or something? Two, or is it 3 minutes?
What, for a song?
Yeah. Mm. Saw Doctors, I'd say, would refuse to edit. Lads, that song is great, but it's 3.5 minutes and it's fucking staying that way.
So to sum up on Eurovision, how are we going to do?
Lads, you can't leave Eurovision without talking about Riverdance.
Osh.
Scrolling through the notes. 1994 in Dublin, presented by
Jerry Ryan. And your one.
That changed the world.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Riverdance?
I never went to see it, but I remember watching it on television and just being like, that was amazing.
Yeah. Isn't it gas now that even when that song comes on, your feet be going. And I was driving the car one day.
It's a cracking tune. It's a cracking song.
It's a great song. And I seen Riverdance.
Did you?
In Killarney, yeah. And you tell me I'm not cultured.
Wait till Noel hears that.
I seen it out in Lanzarote, you know, I'm joking. I seen it in Killarney and it's brilliant. It's class. But it's different now. There's a bit of Irish dancing, but then there's a lot of like freestyle stuff, like lads doing somersaults.
It was
stuff.
Tap dancing and...
Yeah, it's
But they're making some twine, lad. There's actually two troops of Riverdance on the go at all times around the world. One of them being China, the other one being Germany.
Did you ever do Irish dancing?
I did.
Yeah, done it in school as well.
And I was class at it.
I'm class. Oh.
So my mother told me.
If I'd have stuck at it more, I'd be like world champion now. Be going, doing all the fishes.
What about your bad knee?
The knee, you see, that was it more. I had to give it up. And I got into the women then as well. But being a 12-year-old is hard. It's hard to keep it all going.
That knee, lad, yeah, that's the same reason you couldn't do your leaving cert. That fucking knee's gone again.
Knee
man.
Was at me.
Knee's at me.
So lads, what do we think? Are Ireland gonna go well? Is Ryan gonna bring back the trophy? Are we gonna do it?
I think at this stage now, we have to try something a bit different. If you're either gonna have something mental. Now, I don't mind that we sent Dustin. I thought that was gas. And it was a gimmick. Like,
when you consider some of the shit that's won it.
Yeah, but look at Lordy. Who could have predicted that? Like,
yeah, true.
So you either have to send a really, really catchy song like Euphoria or something.
Or a Polish person.
Or, well...
You get the votes.
That might not be a bad idea.
There you go.
I think we should send a really good song and put loads of... Like, one that's really kind of like... Rock and Roll Kids is a class tune. Like, so something that's really well written and then just put a load of production into it, like quality production. Like, let's have high artistic values.
But there's no artistic values to Rock and Roll Kids. Like, Charlie didn't even get his hair cut.
No, but that was the beauty of it. It was a performance. It was so stripped back. It was just Paul Harrington on the keys and Charlie sitting cross-legged with his guitar.
Yeah, cross-legged.
Because like, yeah, like we are contemplating like doing our own version, like, but like as the two lads, like,
yeah.
So like Johnny would be sitting there with his legs crossed, and I'd be just mashing the keyboard because I can't actually play.
Ba ba ba.
But it'd be hilarious. I love the way he just sits with his leg crossed, and his little tie on.
Because the guitar doesn't come in for the first verse, so he just sits there.
He's just enjoying it.
He's just soaking it in.
Yep.
As everybody should. Okay, so.
Well, first of all, before I go, why can we not just send Marty Moan and do Hit the Diff?
Oh, be some crack. Wouldn't it be some crack?
I'd love that. Yeah.
And he's sweating today up there doing the song.
Four guitar strings gone.
And he's still banging it out by.
A load of tractors behind him.
Just the images of tractors going on the big screen behind him.
Hello, Bratislava. Towing, lifting, sewing, bailing. Ireland. Neil Pratt. Some tune though, I love that.
Some tune, absolutely love it.
Jimmy Buckley. Can we just send Jimmy Buckley?
Yeah.
No comment. Joking, I love Jimmy.
I know, I'd say send Philomena Bagley.
Yeah.
I love Philomena.
She charmed the fucking pants off him, she would.
Oh, she's Philomena's a legend.
What would she sing?
Lay the Blanket on the Ground. Have to be. Classic. Classic Philomena.
But you see, that's the rule. It's actually, do you know what?
Yeah, you
the rules of it is it's a songwriting competition. It's based solely on the quality of the song. But sure, people don't vote in that.
No.
You know, when it was the juries, that was the way it was voted on. And then they brought in the public voting. So basically, once they brought in the phone vote,
have we won it since the phone vote?
It depended. There was bits of it brought in. Some countries just got their votes from their jury.
Yeah.
Some countries were totally phone vote, and then some countries were like half and half. So.
Right. So there's the story of Eurovision, lads. We hope you enjoyed it. Next year for Eurovision, we're either going to send the two Johnnies, or we're going to break back out the leather pants. Get the hat trick out, Johnny Logan.
Oh my God, why have we not thought of that sooner?
There we go. He's the only man who's around 60 years of age who get away with wearing a pair of leather pants on live national television.
Lad, it should be Johnny Logan.
The three Johnnies.
Johnny Logan, no, with Mickey Joe Hart, duet.
I love it. I love it. We'll write the song.
Yeah.
There you go.
It'll be pure cheese.
Problem solved.
Send us in your recommendations. Who you'd like to see Ireland to send to the Eurovision, lads.
Yeah, and we wish Ryan the very best luck.
On Ryan back.
Hopefully we'll be celebrating.
On Shocks by.
Celebrate Shocks. Go on Shocks.
Go on Shocks by. Together. I haven't heard it yet, but I will. I'm going to go home now and Google that.
Okay. Sit back. Relax. If you are driving, lads. No, honestly, if you are driving, pull in. If you're in the library studying, go to a quiet corner or lock yourself in a cubicle, because this man is insane. That's him coughing. Coughing and spluttering. We had to ask him to. He tried to bring a vape in here. It's like, you can't vape in here and all. But he's here and he's live. And it's Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Where are you young for that?
All right, Noel.
A vape.
Yeah.
You think I am fucking Bob Geldof?
Bob Geldof. I didn't know Bob Geldof vaped.
Sure, I didn't know. I don't be go walking around holding hands with Bob Geldof like. Like you. Fucking soft cock.
Oh, God. Is that even allowed on this podcast? Right, Noel, hit us with your news.
Right, how are you going to stop me? Now. You fucking, as soon as I come in, you shrivel up like a raisin in the sun.
Shoot straight from the hip there now, no.
That's it, boy. It's the only way I know. Call a spade, bash. I wouldn't know what else to call it. How are you, Maureen?
Grand, no, sorry.
She was mid taking a sip of water there, no. You can't run away.
You're a joy to be around, no. You know how to catch me out.
Them young fellas are leading you astray. Huh?
Dad, listen, they know what side of the bread they're buttered. No, I mean...
Look, what you do to them young fellas is none of my business now.
It's been a long week, no. Can we send us, please?
Not to fucking hope. Okay, today's top story. Donald Trump is a bollocks. Breaking news. No, this is this true story now, as are all my stories. Donald Trump, they thought he was after robbing a bank in Italy. Did you hear this?
No.
talking to a fucking child. Right? Italian police have arrested not one Trump, but two Trumps. They had robbed dozens of cash machines. Do you ever see this? You get the hole in the wall, the money in the wall.
Yeah, ATMs.
I don't trust them at all.
No?
Not at all.
Where do you keep your money?
None of your business, you prick. Huh? Money from a fucking computer. Are you mad? So it turned out it was only a mask. The boys had a Trump mask on their face going around robbing the ATMs. And I actually thought that it was Trump.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, somebody has to keep his wife. Yeah. Plastic surgery and Prozac don't come fucking cheap, lad.
Oh, my God.
Now, you know myself and Melania had a relationship for a while.
We heard about that in a previous podcast, yeah.
But I haven't seen her in a while now. I've kept my distance. That woman.
Is that because of the restraining order?
Not at all. The laws don't apply to me. That woman in Animal, Johnny. She's fucking Animal. She's like the Bog Road. You couldn't get to the end of her. I couldn't keep it pucked out to her. Jeez. Swear to God. She'd more Mickeys than a Kerry phone book. Now, I'm no spring chicken, but I always give a good account of myself. That's a fact. Turn in the bedroom by, I have more moves than chess.
What is wrong with you and all?
Now, she knew her way around the Mickey, that woman, right? And I'd be ashamed to say now that, you know, I strayed from Carmel. But me and Melania were purely physical. Because what she have at home, now in fairness to the girl, what she have at home, like Donald trying to serve as her, it's like trying to drive a nail with a spoon. Can't be done. Can't be done. That's a fact. So it turned out that it wasn't Trump robbing the ATMs. It was two brothers, and they've been arrested now. Victoria and Ivan Lafour. That's their names. And they were inspired by that movie, Point Break, wearing the masks. Did you ever see that?
No.
So there wouldn't be enough tits in it for you. Right, so Point Break, a movie, Patrick Swayze was in it. A man's man. He was in it, and they used to put on masks of former presidents and go around robbing stuff. And the young lad, Reeves, was chasing him then. Keanu. It was very good. I don't know if I'm showing it, but it's surfing in it now.
Cool.
Yeah, that was good now. These boys, they painted their car trying to get away from the cops. They had a white mark and they painted it black. Jeez. And they thought, you know what I mean?
Get away with it.
Not like, when I read that they painted the car, I thought it was going to say Mayo for Sam. Down the side or something. But the Italian police are very good. The boys only got away with it 34 times before they got caught. Sure, that's fucking Italian police. Too busy eating fucking garlic bread and fucking carbonara. Who the fuck puts garlic on bread anyway?
You don't like it?
Not the fucking tall.
What if Carmel had that on the dinner table now when you went home?
Well, I'd fuck it out to the dog. I have a dog out the back called Nicky English.
I'm actually farting at the same time as laughing.
Oh God.
That's right. That's right, that's a fact. That's right, I have a 19-year-old Cocker Spaniel.
Okay, no, okay.
Called Nicky English. That's a fact, that's a fact. Now, my second gripe of the week is, of course, abroad in America. Because those robberies were abroad in Italy. Around Turin. I think it's called a city.
Turin.
Turn. Go up to the top of the road, then turn left. So, this is typical shite out of the fucking Yanks now, right? A monkey took a court case. Did you hear this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Maureen switched on.
Well, he didn't take the court case. Animal rights people did on his behalf.
You thought I was the monkey and all, did you?
Is this Maureen's news I'm doing here?
I'll go back into the kitchen, so no.
I'm only rising yet, Maureen. That's right, animal rights. So a man took a selfie, or he a wildlife photographer was out, and the monkey picked up his camera and took a selfie of himself. Now, whether he meant to or not, sure, we don't know. I wasn't talking to the monkey. This is in 2011, and the monkey's name was Naruto, I think. I don't speak monkey. He's 7 years old, so that makes him about cleverer than you are. Now, there was a photographer from England, and he wanted use of the photo. I mean, my photo, my camera. But the boys in the animal rights said, no, Richard, the monkey took the fucking photo. It's his photo. And this was going on in court for fucking ages now. But he, like, I'm not sure what the monkey was going to do with the photo. Hang it up on the tree or give it to a tourist. I don't know. Swap it for a banana, whatever. So they ruled anyway in the court that the photographer owned the rights of the photo. And the judge basically said, will you cop on?
Cop on to yourselves.
Cop on to yourselves now. You want to be sending yourselves a get well card. So, but they agreed that 25% of the photo's earnings are going to charities that are going to look after crested macaques. That's the kind of monkey that he was.
Intriguing.
Well, it's an interesting story, you know. Better than that shit you'd be going on with. Okay, so my third story of the week. Local story in the parish. Very serious news this week. Addie Slattery is dead.
Oh. That's a laugh, not a fart. Oh.
Addie Slattery is dead. Now, Eddie, a very popular man in the parish. He trained a lot of teams. He trained me when I was a boy. We hurled every night of the week with Eddie. We hurled out in Leahy's field. We hunted cows out of that field. We hurled through the sluggers and the buca lawns. We hurled through the thistles and the thorns and the old damp ground and old bad socks and old pains and aches and pneumonia, thistles and thorns and divots and rocks, and just was great. He were more a man than any man. He were more a man than any man. Addy used to have us. He had a, we'd have to run up and down Galty Moor with a sack of turf on your back. That's a fact.
Of course she did.
That's a fact. Fucking that's a fact by now. We were fit by. And when you were up top of Galty Moor, he'd make you stay there. You'd have to hunt your own dinner. I remember one time I wrestled a fox for half a ferret. But it was good eating in ferrets that time. Ferrets used to be bigger. The old ferrets nowadays are small. Not to be confused with a stoat.
A stoat.
I wouldn't date a stoat.
No?
No. Did you ever hear the story of the man in the stoat?
No, go on.
Do you know where the railway is at home?
Yeah.
And it goes out there by Byron's.
Yeah.
And there's a big divot. It's cut. A lot of land is moved away to make road room for the railway. And they call that pass the Khyber for some reason. Now, I don't know. The Khyber is out in fucking Pakistan or somewhere. But they named this road the Khyber. And there was a man, there was a workman there, working.
Brilliant.
Digging out the pass for the railway. And he used to have his lunch around lunchtime.
We're learning something new here every minute.
And every day, a stoat would come over and play with him. And he'd throw the stoat and it would cut a bread. And the stoat would go away happy out. And one day, the stoat came over and robbed his hat. That's a fact. Right? And your man said, "You little fucking prick." And he went after, didn't he go after the store? And when he was gone chasing the store, didn't the big bank of land fall in on top of him? And it would have killed him if he'd been there.
Oh my God.
So he was very sad when he came back, because he had to catch him, the store, and kill him. And, and the stoats cursed him.
Oh God.
The curse of the stoat. That's a fact.
Is that it? That's the most mental thing you've ever come in here with.
That's not it. You fucking liar. Right? So Addie had us going up and down the mountains with turf on our back, and we're not allowed to eat stoats. He'd have us doing push-ups and jumping jacks, and he'd have to go out and hurl a match then, and you're only down from Galty Moore.
Wow.
I'll tell you one thing though, we were the fittest under 12 team in South Tipperary. That was some team, but that was a great team. My brother Tom was midfield that time.
Was he good?
Fucking unreal. I just, he'd hurl you around the town, but. So we got the team back together at Addie's funeral. I'll tell you one thing, it was the best fucking wake I was ever at. So all you out there, I want to say, beware the stoat.
Beware the stoat.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you.
That's it now.
Thank you.
And Maureen, are you okay there? I didn't mean to go too hard, you know.
She's very upset now.
I know. I'm grand, Noel. It's a pleasure having you here every week. And I swear to God, you definitely don't give me heart palpitations or heart failure when you come out with some of your conspiracy theories. So we're grand. We're friends.
Are we?
If you stop calling me Maureen, we'll be best friends.
All right, what's her name?
Maura.
That's a fucking towny name.
Noel, thank you once again.
I didn't give you any health palpitations today, no?
No.
Donald Trump doesn't start listening to the podcast.
Do you want to know health palpitation? No.
Go on, yeah.
No?
Go on, I'm sure the listeners want a heart palpitation there if you have one.
Did I tell you about the time Brian Cody...
No.
Oh, God.
He shot Malcolm X.
I'm drawing a line in the sand there. Noel Ferrong has lost.
I fucking never liked that man.
Malcolm X for Brian Cody.
Oh sure, Malcolm X, now I know he was, became Muslim in the end, and I thought he would gone very extreme, but he was a nice lad. Malcolm X is a grand lad.
You've lost it, Noel.
All them X's were good people.
Brilliant stuff, Noel. Thank you for your brilliant insight into the news again this week.
Beware the stoat.
Beware of the stoat, lads. You heard it here from Noel.
Okay, at this time every week, our lovely producer Maura throws us under the bus with our mystery topic. Maura from Meath, lay it on us.
Right, because you two were on holidays this week and I wasn't, I didn't really have much time to prep a topic, but I decided I'm going to educate you a little bit.
Ooh.
So last week we had podcast recording problems, and then I said a little prayer to St. Jude, the patron saint of hopeless causes, and lo and behold, we got sorted and we're grand.
That's why I was saying a prayer to St. Anthony. I thought that was who I was to pray
No,
for.
No, no.
But I found an old couple of buttons I was looking for off my pants.
So I decided, feck it, are there other patron saints out there who can help the two Johnnies in their day-to-day lives? Okay.
Same patience.
So, Smack's first up, the patron saint of bad knees, Saint Rock.
No way.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
Was Saint Rock or Saint Rocco, depending on
on what part of Dublin you're from.
Yeah. Born in Mallorca in the 13th century.
Mallorca.
Yeah.
I love Santa Ponsa. I'm a fan already. Go on.
He was the son of a wealthy French nobleman. Grew up with lots of privilege. Then at 20 he gave his fortune to the poor and renounced his nobility. So then he got sick for a while, and then the story kind of involves him being very friendly with a dog, and himself and the dog went sent to prison, and then somehow he just
I'm going to stop you there. Himself and the dog
sent to prison. Yeah.
What did the dog do?
Back in France, there was a civil war. Saint Roch left for home and the dog went with him. The turbulence of the war led to him to be accused of spying. Saint Roch refused to identify himself as royalty and was thrown in prison along with his dog.
And did he refuse to identify himself as royalty because he had renounced it and he was like,
a social statement.
It wasn't just like, that's not me. I'm not.
He did, yeah. Well, according to the... what I found on the internet. So
according to Wikipedia.
Max, that's like you and the Empire of Chippers, you could inherit.
Yeah, man. That whole thing has gone completely over my head. Saint Rocco, shagging a dog. Bad man.
No, he wasn't shagging the dog. The dog was which is very friendly.
Oh.
And then he was
just
a true
good friends.
The dog would lick peanut butter from time to time.
That's nice that he was allowed to bring the dog to jail with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like jail wouldn't be so bad if you're like...
Imagine all the boys up Mount Gina with dogs. They'd have the big pit bull dogs.
I know. Maura, would you bring Ted to jail with you?
Yeah. Like, hopefully I wouldn't be going to jail, but yeah. I bring...
You will after this podcast, to watch you say about the Brits.
Yeah, no, Ted is the world's best dog, and anybody who doesn't think their dog's better, I'm sorry, you're just wrong. It's actually incorrect. But yeah, no, Ted, I will talk about him another time.
Well, if my dog is listening, she didn't mean it.
Yeah, but Ted, do you see the size of Ted's ears? Come on.
Okay, Ted will hear because he's got big ears. Like. My dog's name is actually Bob Marley. That's genuinely my dog's name. Okay. Go on, Maura. Sorry, excuse me. I'm on a rant here.
Okay, well, we've more patron saints to get here, true. Okay, right. So, any ideas who the patron saint of television is?
Marty Whelan.
No.
Pat Kenny.
St. Clair of Assisi. So, basically... if I'm having televisual problems, I need to start praying to St. Clair. She was designated the patron saint of television in 1958 by Pope Pius VII because when St. Clair was very ill, she could not attend Mass and was reportedly able to see it and hear it on the wall of her room.
Jeez.
And
someone want to say a few prayers to her, like. someone's letting Brendan O'Connor on the television.
Do you know roughly in what century was she from or anything?
I think she might have been in the 15th century. I need to. So she was the first person to see Mass on TV.
She's really the patron saint of broadband, then, is she?
Yes. Okay, Johnny B, one for you. Patron saint of comedies. Saint Genius of Rome.
I get bad knees, he gets comedy. The fuck am I doing in this relationship here at all?
We'll come back to you, don't worry. He was leader of a theatrical troupe in Rome and did a series of plays mocking Christianity. But as legend goes, he was ridiculing a conversion experience on stage one day when he saw the angels and asked to be baptised in real life. So, yeah.
Wow, and did he become a priest or anything?
No, he was tortured and then killed, I think. So, yeah, so didn't work out too well.
Must have been a fairly shit play.
It was a dangerous move asking for a conversion. He did it in front of the Roman Emperor Diocletian at the time, and the Roman Emperor was like, "You're going to be tortured." And then when he refused to renounce his fate after being tortured, he was beheaded. So it didn't. Christianity didn't work out too well for St. Genius, but...
So that was before the Roman emperors became Christians?
Yes, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So he was making fun of the Christians, had a, like, God experience, became a Christian, and then, like, he became a stout Christian and died for it.
Yeah. And he's the patron saint of comedy, so it all makes sense.
Patron saint of comedy, Ricky Gervais. I love it there.
He's an atheist.
Yeah. Like Johnny.
Back to you, Smax.
Most top comedians, I would argue. We'll get back to that another day.
Another patron saint for you to pray for.
Patron saint of skinny jeans.
Of wearing black.
The patron saint of travellers and bachelors. Saint Christopher.
Is he? Saint Christopher Medal?
Yes. He's known as the patron saint of travellers, drivers, sailors, bachelors, gardeners, the bubonic plague and toothache. So many people would never dream of going travelling without a medal. So there's the way you don't like getting out much. Maybe if you start paying to St. Christopher, you'll be protected and will start enjoying it a little more.
Yeah, in fairness, like, we're doing some amount of travelling, like, but...
We are.
I'm still not enjoying it yet.
Maura, is there actually a patron saint of the travelling community? I think there is.
Oh, I think there probably is, yeah, because obviously, like, religion is massively important to the traveling community. So I'm not too sure. I will check that out and I will inform you on podcast 13. So I will
update that. But just on St. Christopher, he's the patron saint of about 14 things there.
Yeah.
That's a bit lazy from the Catholic Church, isn't it? I bet you there's somebody out there who's not a patron saint of Aten.
Well, do you know, when I was researching this, they're all something to do with the plague. So I think it was like basically this whole idea of patron saints come in at the time that, you know, people were like dying of the plague and needed something to believe in and that. So they just decided to start giving saints stuff to, you know, do. Yeah.
Here you're at nothing there. Be the patron saint of the plague.
Yeah. Johnny B, another patron saint for you, St. Joseph, patron saint of the carpenters.
Yep.
So,
and I do have...
Not the bend.
I do have a picture of St. Joseph in the hurley making workshop.
Yeah.
From before my time, just there. Yeah, the mother put it up.
Wow.
And there was a couple of crucifixes up in the workshop.
There is actually, yeah.
Yeah. Sure, they were in the house. That house was built in 1845 and we converted it into a workshop. I don't know, it's there a long time. But like we said, we'd have no luck for throwing out the crucifixes. Mm. So we just left them there. Beside a picture of the 2001 Ireland winning tip team.
Oh yeah, well that's it. Like, it just, this is completely off topic, but we have one of our fields at home, we have a fairy tree. And last year the fairy tree fell down. So like, but my dad won't move it. He's just like, no, we'll leave it there, we'll leave it there. So, you know, you don't want to move the fairy tree. Wow. So yeah, it rotted and just fell over. So, but yeah, you know, we wouldn't
don't want to be messing with the fairies.
Smacks, I didn't realise I was going kind of as harsh on you here, but the last kind of patron saint I was thinking.
Go on,
Morrison's
going to get much worse than you. I've had a bad week.
Saint Cajetan. Cajetan. He's the patron saint of the unemployed.
Lads, there seems to be undertones in this topic. That, yeah, I was unemployed.
Well, like, you know, like, if you ever, you know, you seem to be worried about a lot of shit, so I think, like, you know, if you
yeah, but bags under my eyes isn't a major problem.
Is there a patron saint of like skincare?
yeah. Well, Saint Catherine, he founded a bank to help the poor and offer alternatives to loan sharks. And he that his bank, which he founded, later became the Bank of Naples. And his concern for the unemployed, giving them necessary financial help in the time of their need, made him their patron. So, if you need a loan or you have financial, pray to Saint Cajetan.
Because the bank aren't going to give it to you. Ah, they might. Oh, thanks very much, Mara.
I enjoyed that, Mara. An insightful look and plenty of abuse as well. I love that.
Fairy trees to Roman emperors. Well, we got around there.
We've had it all this week in Mara's Mystery Topic. Mara, thank you. Okay, topic number 3. We're talking Debs, lads. People are starting to plan now for the Debs. There's young ones booking in their fake tans, spray tans, all the stuff, eyebrows, eyelashes. The lads are buying the suits. Lads are worrying more and more about suits. Johnny B, what is your memories of the Debs?
Well, back in my day, everybody wore a black suit to the Debs. It was like a funeral.
Yeah.
But with waistcoats.
Well, you wore the waistcoats as well?
Yeah.
And did you go with ties?
I went to a dicky ball.
Ooh.
I think it was all dicky balls.
All black dicky balls, like.
Yeah, care, we were very unimaginative.
Yeah, you're like a load of snooker players.
All rented suits.
Of course.
Big baggy tracksuits, pal. I was like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones coming around. Men in black. Fair dove.
In Roscrea, now we were a bit different.
Oh, sure, no doubt.
For my own Debs, I bought my own suit. People are starting to kind of buy their suits.
You were like the Liverpool FA Cup team, eh?
Oh, lad. I bought a real shiny grey suit and I had a blue and white shirt and a silver tie to go with the suit. And I had the mullet haircut that you straightened at the back with a hair straightener.
Oh my god!
I flicked it. Yeah. I'd put a photo up.
Do you know? I reckon if we went to school together, I'd have hated you.
Of course, man. You going around with long hair and all the black hoodies, corn dudes. No, I don't think we'd. I don't think we'd have went well. Thank God you're such a charismatic man now in later life.
Suits. Just one thing as well. There, the flower that you give girls.
The corsage.
A corsage. There you go.
What is the story, Mara?
I don't know, because the corsage I got given for my Debs, like, by the end of the night...
It was a dandelion.
No, it was a proper lovely corsage. At the end of the night, I just had this, like, green bracelet on my arm. I was quite drunk. I was like, what the hell is this, like, green bit of twine about it?
The flower.
I being deflowered.
Oh, hey.
That didn't happen.
That's the dibs, boy. That's the dibs.
Daddy's listening now.
I'm only just thinking, like, I went to the dibs in Temple Moor, which would be like 10 or 15 minutes from Roscrea, and like they all wore ties, right? And then, like, I didn't know this. So, like, I got my suit in Roscrea and I had like a cravat. Oh, lads, they fair took the piss on me.
You arrived on like Christopher Walken.
Wedding crashers.
Cravat.
I had a cravat on.
Did you have like a red scarf around your waist as well?
That's a cummerband.
Cummerband.
Yeah. Is that what they are? Yeah. Like your man to go compare ad. No, I didn't have one of them.
The man from Del Monte.
And people wonder then, like, you know, we done a sketch on the dips, of course. And it's all true. So like that Temple Moor Debs I was talking about, I went with a girl called Carol, and the deal was she'd bring me to Temple Moor Debs, I'd bring her to Roscrea Debs. Now the problem there was I had already asked someone to the Roscrea Debs and she had went away and got a dress. And then I kind of like stopped texting her back.
Oh, you ghosted her. Oh, you bad lad.
Yeah. That brings me back to the previous week's podcast of relationships.
So which did you take to the Roscrea Dibs?
I brought Carol and I went to Temple Moor Dibs with her.
And did you meet the other one at the Roscrea Dibs?
No, because she wasn't from Roscrea.
So she just ended up with a spare dress?
Probably, yeah.
Was there nobody from Roscrea who'd go with you, like?
No, man, I'd burnt all the bridges. But, so to bring you back to the Temple Moor Dibs, so I went with Carol. And went out to the house, picked her up, gave her a corsage, gave the mother the chocolates, all the whole shebang. And they dropped us off then in Temple Moor. So it was on the Temple Moor Arms. And in our sketch, like, there's a scene of me falling asleep in the toilet. So now I'm going to give you the true events of what actually happened. So we had the meal, a few pints, whatever. I went up to the bar, met a fella from Lochmore, hadn't seen in ages. Ended up doing shots with him of Purple Haze. Now, for those people who don't know what Purple Haze is, it's all three aftershocks in one shot. And I had four or five of them and then another pint. And I had still not went back to the table to Carol. So I went to the toilet then to sit down. I didn't feel well, sat down in the toilet. Fell asleep. Door got kicked in, hit me in the top of the head. 2:30 in the morning. I had literally, 20 minutes after the meal, fell asleep on the toilet. And like the bouncer was clearing out the place. And like I was like, oh Jesus, like, what time is it? He was like, it's time to go. I went out, everyone was gone.
Oh God.
The band were taking down the gear, like the DJ was packing up. It was all done. The band were gone actually. And the DJ was just putting in the stuff. I went outside then and apologised to Carol. And she was after ringing me mother and all.
Oh God.
She didn't know where you were, like.
Yeah, but like now the boys had obviously found me, like, and told her, like, Jesus, he's asleep in the toilet. Like, they couldn't wake me up. I was paralysed. Some dose.
Did you get sick?
Oh, I got sick everywhere. Yeah, I got sick in my mother's car and everything.
Your mother's car?
Yeah. I couldn't even get in the front. Like, I had to actually lie down in the back. Like, it was the worst journey from Temple Moor to Roscrea.
I'd say your mother poked the head off.
Oh, yeah. Lad.
Trish wouldn't take that, lad.
So when I brought Carol into my Debs, then I behaved myself and I gave her a proper night out.
She actually went to your Debs after that?
Yeah.
Patient woman.
She is a saint.
You know how to pick him, Johnny?
Yeah, that's me, boy.
Well, I took a mate of mine, a female mate of mine.
Did you sit from Gonzo, just rocked up to the Dibs?
No, Gonzo. Well, we went, yeah, as a foursome, I guess, a four ball. No, I brought a female friend of mine, and I gave the whole night trying to get off of her, but I ended up getting off of her friend. You know how it is.
That's the Dibs, man.
That's the Dibs, lad. And I was pure delighted with the one I got off with. Then I thought I was doing great shifting this one. Heard afterwards, she shifted Liam O'Gorman after me. Yeah.
Oh, lad.
That's the Dibs.
That's the Dibs, yeah. The first Dibs I ever went to, so all my friends growing up, I done transition year. They went on. They didn't do TY, like, so they were obviously had their Dibs the year before.
You went to that one?
And I was like, I have to get to this. But, like, it's not like in other schools where you can just buy the tickets. You have to be actually asked. So I went about with anyone. Said in 3 months to the Dibs, I said, right, time to get going on this. So I met a girl and shifted her, and she brought me to Dibs. It was grand. And I got to go with the boys and all. And
did you shift her just for Deb's invite?
Yeah. I might as well admit it. Yeah, I did.
That's cold.
Man, I'm cold.
That's cold.
I shifted someone else in that night down at the Deb's as well.
Lad. Did you keep up shifting her for 3 months until the Deb's came?
Ah, can you keep her at arm's length? The odd text. She was meant to be going with someone else, like, but like, fuck it. Like, I was. She was well off home, me, like.
Better crack.
Better crack. Good old crack. Good photo. Alicia's a good photo on the mantelpiece.
Do you arrive on in a limo, did you?
No, I actually never got a limo to,
nah,
any of them.
Waste
of
time.
No. But it was grand. Like, I went out to her house and her family, good old crack. It was
my mother had a purple Corolla at the time. She brought us.
I wouldn't let my mother drop me, like.
No?
Oh, she'd be coming in then fixing me tie and everything.
Well, they only drop you to the bus and then you get the bus together.
No, like, we don't get a bus.
Oh, just we get the bus.
So in Rosscrea, the Debs in my school was run by the students. Because I think a few years previous, when the school were organising the Debs, they trashed the fucking hotel or something like that. Something like that, anyway. And so the school said, right, no more Debs. So it was like a committee of students organised the Debs. And we had it in Racket Hall in Rosscrea. So, like, there's no need to get a bus because it's
okay,
only a minute.
You had it local.
Yeah. So. Or our parents dropped us out.
No, anyone getting a Debs, like anyone getting a limo to Debs now, I want to be.
They'd want, tell you one thing, if my son came home, if I had a son, he came home to me and said, hey, I'm getting a limo to the Debs, he'll slap across the face, but that's what you get. That's the God's honest.
Notions.
I don't care if he's 18, he gets sleepy time.
The day I was supposed to start my apprenticeship, and I said, I can't, lads, I've me Debs the night before. So they said, you have to come in. So I arrived in the first day of my apprenticeship, and I didn't know that I'd actually be doing any work, because I'd go to the head offices. Like, I thought I was just like getting instructions and that. It might be a half day or whatever. So I ran in just a jumper, and I had to go straight out in sight.
Oh, God.
In my good clothes. I got putty all over my blue jumper. Swear to God.
One of the big things I had from one of the Debs was the first ever Debs I went to, the bar staff weren't the quickest, so one of the lads got pissed off, pushed down two of the taps.
Oh.
Start pouring everywhere. The truth was out 1 o'clock. Debs, oh, over. Yeah. They got John Gibbons, you know, the big DJ, down to DJ at and all. So he's only going 20 minutes, the whole thing was called off.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It is. And do you remember I turned to DJing?
Yeah, you DJed.
That bring you back to the patron saint of unemployed there, Maura. When I was unemployed, I had booked a holiday to Santa Ponza, and I was going one way or the other. I was coming up with the money. So one of the lads, I was around 20 at the time, maybe 21, and one of the young lads I knew from the GA was organising his grad. So it wasn't actually the Debs, it was the graduation from school. They're having it in a country pub, like. And I said, Jesus, I can DJ. Now, I had never DJed in me life, right? I hadn't a clue. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, geez, it'd be class if you were DJ. I was like, yeah, it'd be deadly, yeah. I was like, yeah, sure, look, I'll do it. Like, he was like, grand, how much to charge? I was like, 250. I was like, jeez, like, you know, it's a bit excessive for somebody who's never DJed, but I needed to get to Santa Ponza. So it was great. I got a loan of Johnny's gear from the wedding band. Had around 10 grand's worth of gear. Still hadn't DJed. And I literally just learned in 2 nights, like, how to DJ.
Download the software.
Just downloaded the software. And just like, I was like, this is fucking a piece of piss. So I was DJing anyway for the first hour. Everyone was dancing. Things were going well. Then some young lad threw a rock at a cop car. And it was brilliant because I'd already got paid and I'd only worked for an hour, and the man came in, right, pack up, this is over, you need to get out of here. I was like, grand.
Oh no, I was just getting going.
An hour, speakers into the car, bang, out there, 250 quid. What I later found out was the young lad organising it had said I was 350 and he pocketed 100. So all good. It was all's well that ends well.
I played many of the Debs when I used to be in the wedding band. We did Debs as well, and at first it was great because, you know, I was probably doing it when I was like 20 and you're doing Debs and all the girls look fabulous, and you, but by the end of it, it was the bitty and creepy now. It was inappropriate for me to be in the room at all, I thought. So I'm glad to have finished up with that. Normally it was grand now. If you're doing a school like Cashel now, they'd all be, they have a good musical society, it'd be a good school. Well, so they say. And you could play like James Brown and play all fun stuff and it'd be great. We did Kilmallock Debs.
Oh, you're naming and shaming now, lad.
Have any Kesha?
Oh, God.
Four long-haired lads with guitars and drums, and they were asking for Kesha, Rihanna, all this fucking shit all night. I said, do I look like I know any Kesha?
What a carry-on.
What a carry-on.
So, the survival guide to surviving the Debs, Johnny. I would say, don't drink too early.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean. Like, don't be going out 2 o'clock in the day thinking you're the big man downtown playing pool.
You'll be wrote off.
And you have to go to your one's house. Like my friend Shane, I don't mind, I'm going to name him now in this podcast. My friend Shane was going with a bird to the Debs, and I was only in TUI, so he couldn't go on TUI. Like, there was no, it just wasn't possible.
No matter who you shifted.
So the thing used to be, you'd go down and see him getting the photos taken, like, you know. So Shane was bringing a girl, And he went down to the house. Lads, he was out 1 o'clock that day. He came down to the house to get the photos taken. The two eyes were buried in the back of his head. I'll never forget it, lads. So I would definitely say don't start too early. That would be my first tip.
I know a lad, a few boys said they were going stag. No date. Boys going together.
At the Lonely Hearts Club, that's grim.
One of the boys got so drunk, he fell asleep in the bus and didn't wake up until someone sat on him at 3 in the morning.
So don't start too early again. I would definitely say get the corsage and the chocolates for the mother. You know, aim to please. And, you know, if you're thinking now of getting your wick away, think again. That doesn't happen at Debs. This is an American pie, I would say. Or does it happen at Debs more?
No.
I don't think it happens. It happens.
Not in care.
Nor Ross Gray, I must say.
Well, I haven't been to Debs in 10 years anyway, so I don't know what's going on now.
Go away, you'll be going to one this year, I'd say. But yeah, that's my advice. Please the mother and you'll please the woman.
Maura?
Oh, advice on Debs. Enjoy the getting ready part of it for women. Because that's the best part of it.
Because the rest of it's shit.
It is, yeah.
Have you any memories on the Debs?
Well, for my Debs dress, I think I told you this before, but like basically my dad said, there's a cottage on our farm which we rent out, and daddy's like, oh, I'll pay for your Debs dress if you paint the cottage. And I was like, that's grand. Cottage was pebble dashed. Dad is like, so we're hiring a spray painting machine. Oh, no, just paint it by hand. It's like, it took me a week long to paint that cottage by hand.
Negative ways.
Yeah, so like, and my Debs dress was maybe €180. So like, worked for a week. Yeah.
I'd have been getting a diamante dress by it. I'd been getting real diamonds on it and all.
Yeah, I know. Like my Debs is grand on that. Like, and yeah, it was funny. They're like, when it, like, so I went to an all girls school. So then like all my male friends that went to like the boys school, they had girlfriends there ever. So they were like, they were like trying to set me up with guys that were like, I like the weird guys. Like, I was like, it's grand, lads. I'll not go to the Debs. They're like, oh no, sure, Brian, if he's sound good, just go talk to him.
You know, crazy Brian.
Yeah. It's like, Brian sits at the front of the bus and doesn't talk to anybody. You know, I'm not going, lads. Leave it, like. So,
Jesus. But you went.
No, I didn't.
You didn't go to the Debs?
No, I went to my own Debs, but I didn't go to the lads' Debs. No, I wasn't going with weird Brian. So,
from the two Johnnies, anyway, lads, stay safe at the Debs, mind each other, and stay away from the purple haze.
That's it.
Okay, we're going to finish off the podcast, as always, with our yurts and dirts of the week. I'll start us off. My dirt of the week. The iPhone's on the blink again. I don't mean to whinge, right? And I know we touched on it a few podcasts ago, but things have not got better. I've got the name of your man in the shop now. Mohammed.
Really?
Really. Really, like. Yeah. That's nice. And
Mohammed is the world's most popular name.
Yeah. And he, in fairness to Mohammed, he was grand to start. But he's pissing me off a bit now, right? He fixed me screen on the phone. Remember, I was saying it was smashed. And then I got it back and it was working grand for a week. And then the screen stopped working again. So I brought it in and said, listen, Mohammed, I'm going to sort this out. He sent it away 3-4 days, dilly-dally, and brought it back to me. The screen worked. Now the phone won't charge. So it's gone back in again. Mohammed, if you're listening, have that phone ready for me tomorrow morning.
Maybe you should just send your phone to Apple rather than...
See, I can't, because Mohammed replaced the original screen with a dud, a cheaper one. So I can't really send it to Apple and they'd be like, well, I know what's wrong with the phone. You let some fella out of there who don't have a clue.
Some amateur.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in a bit of a dilemma. Johnny B, what's your dirt of the week?
I've been in several delis this week with a complete lack of goujons. I really can't stress this enough. Throw them out.
Throw out the goujons, kid.
Tour dumb on goujons.
Is anybody out there who wants to send us a lot of goujons?
Like, I love chicken fillets, right? The breaded chicken fillets. But give me the goujons.
Give me goujons any day of the week, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your dirt.
I was in a restaurant recently and I got goujons and garlic dip. And they were fancy goujons. They were small goujons. So the batter to chicken ratio was a lot higher. Oh. It was like a strong mix of smint.
Christ. And I'm not going to that restaurant.
And they had good garlic dip.
Good dip. You like the garlic.
Oh, lad.
Stay away, ladies. He likes the garlic.
I'm a whore for garlic dip. Lad, I'd go through a wall for garlic dip now. It'd be hard for me to eat a pizza without garlic dip.
Hmm.
And don't you go on about that burger sauce you get. Like.
That's nice. I like that in Supermax. Burger sauce. Lovely.
Garlic. That's kind of my yurt of the week, is that the woman from Supermax, she sent me a snap of her in her uniform saying, if one more person tells me to throw out the goose on, I'll fucking murder them.
So that's your yurt of the week. Yurt of the week.
So yurt and dirt, both goose on related.
My yurt of the week is the old Lucky Lucky boys selling the jewellery and watches and hats out in Tenerife. Now, you might think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I've acquired a bag full of gold chains and fake Armani hats. I'll be selling them on Moore Street in Dublin there. So, 2 for €1. So, if you see me there.
You'd be outside Semple, Tip versus Cork. Get your watches, all the colours of your Thames.
Gold chains.
5 for €1.
So, yeah, that's my yurt of the week. Lads, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
Maura, how did we do?
You did so well.
Yeah.
She's gone soft on us, Johnny.
Lads, we'll be back again next week. Don't worry.
We're just draining the life out of Maura. She can't fight us anymore. You're fine. She's your podcast is fine.
She's giving up. We're going to enjoy ourselves in Abu Dhabi, but don't worry. We'll be back with you again next Monday. Same time, same place. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
Producer Maura.
We'll see you next week. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.